Welcome to episode 263 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Donna, Lindsay, and George. Imagine casting spells with a wand like Harry Potter, or fly high above the city streets with Spider-Man, or battle the evil Decepticons with your friends, the Autobots. You can do all of this and so much more at Universal Studios Florida and Universal's Islands of Adventure. Most of the Outlander team attended a travel industry conference hosted by Universal Orlando, and we're here tonight to tell you all about it. So let's get started.
Hey, such a fun place.
I know. It had been like 2 years since I had been there, so I was so excited to go back.
It had been basically my first time.
It was your first time, George? Aww.
I went for my 10th anniversary, which was 22 years ago. So yeah, pretty much. There wasn't much left from what I remember.
A brand new park.
Yeah.
Two brand new parks.
None of us went to Volcano Bay, right? So we should probably explain that right away.
I toured Volcano Bay.
Okay.
But, it was a hot September day, and I wished I was in Volcano Bay.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I was there to stay.
Yeah.
I will say, like, just throwing a tip out there, I would get a cabana.
Yeah.
I was going to go.
Yeah. That's my clients who have gone have said the same thing. Those who have gotten a cabana and those who have had not gotten a cabana have said the same thing.
Because you can do they do that Tapu Tapu. It's like, tapping your little watch thing, kind of like a Disney Magic Band, and you can get in line for things just by tapping, and you can do that from your cabana, which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my big tip.
Yeah, it's a virtual line. So, and that's unique. None of the other parks have that virtual line. So, and I think they bill it as a water theme park. Is that correct?
They do.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what I thought. Yeah, they're like, it's not a water park. It's a water theme park. Most water parks I've
well met. I just love that they have elevators.
Yeah,
so if you can't do stairs, you can actually ride the elevator up to the top, and the sidewalks have little jet sprayers to keep the sidewalks cool so that you don't burn your feet.
And they have like places to put your shoes, like if you wear your flip-flops to the water slide, there's a these little rope hammocks and stuff to like store your shoes and then go ride the ride and come back and get your shoes.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And don't they have lifts that take your floats up to the top so you don't have to carry them?
Yep, so you're not carrying them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they put a lot of thought into that development of that water park and all the things that were kind of missing from water park visits, like all the things that go wrong, your burnt feet and you're climbing 16,000 stairs. And
One of the cool things they did before we get off the topic of Volcano Bay, we were touring some resorts too, and we were in Cabana Bay. And you can get a Volcano Bay view room, which is not a huge upgrade, but it's, you know, a little bit more money wise, but the view is great, and the volcano spews lava at night and all that stuff. But
not cool, real lava. Yeah. Asterisk, not real lava.
But they had, when we were up in that room, the person who was doing our tour was like, well, now that we can see Volcano Bay from here, I'm just going to point some things out so it'll be easy for you to visualize it when you're down there. That was really helpful to see how everything fit and moved around. But another thing they said was, look how uncrowded it is. So if you're staying on property, you get that extra hour, and that is a huge deal for Volcano Bay. So take advantage of that if you're staying on property.
And just a note about the view, it's not only the Volcano Bay view rooms that have, you can see Volcano Bay from a lot of other places in that resort. And so I've had clients who stayed at Cabana Bay, and I talked to them about Volcano Bay, and they say, no, we don't want a water park. We just want to go to the other two parks. And they'll come back and say, the kids were so mad because they could see this park that we couldn't go to. I tell people that now. I'm like, I'm just telling you, people come back and say their kids were mad. So let's talk about that third park, because people still skip it. And I still haven't been, but when I go, I can't go. Like, I either don't have time to go, or it's the winter and it's too cold.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, if you're going in any, and this was September, it was hot. It was like in the 90s every day. You want to go to Boston.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was quite toasty.
Yeah.
So let's talk about. So George, this was your basically first brand new trip. Did you spend a couple days there with your family before conference? Didn't you, or did?
Amazing. No, I actually did Disney pre-conference. I stayed an extra day after to do Universal.
Gotcha.
And was that just you and your wife, or did your daughter stay as well?
No, my daughter stayed as well. She was actually the most adventurous of the three of us. she went on the rides where all the signs say, you will get soaked.
Oh, you will too.
You will. It does not lie.
So we walked up to the Jurassic Park one, and I walked up to the cast member, whatever you call them at Universal, and I said, how wet should I expect to get? And she said, from moderately wet to completely soaked.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll pass. So our daughter went, and she got off, and she was a little wet. It wasn't awful, but then she decided to do Dudley Do-Right's Ripsaw Falls.
Yeah. Oh, that one will get you soaked.
She didn't have a dry piece of clothing on after she got off that. It was awful.
We had to buy, the first time I did that, we had to buy new clothes in the park.
Well, now they have those full body dryers for like $5. And it's funny because you walk by and you're like, who would pay for that? And then you get off that ride, you're like, I would.
I would really pay for that. It really helps with the chafing between your legs.
Yeah. We had to bag her shoes for the ride home because they were too wet to wear.
Yeah, you get ridiculously wet on that.
Yeah.
I rode Jurassic Park because that one, it is moderately to severe, but it's moderate. And my shoes were okay, but I didn't want to ride any of the other water rides because I needed my shoes for the next 2 weeks because I was traveling. So I was like, I do not need to have to try and figure out how to dry my shoes.
Right. I always wear sandals to Florida. There's no,
I can't walk
to theme park. I get the kind that have like the tread on the bottom, the Tevas or whatever. Now I have an old lady pair that's like orthopedic support sandals.
Yeah, even my Keens, halfway through the day, I'm like, these are really comfortable. I start, my arches start hurting.
Yeah, no, I've gotten a couple good brands. I'll also send you the couple ones that have really great arch support. I think they're more comfortable for me than tennis shoes. But yeah, once your shoes are wet, you're done for the day. Like,
oh yeah, I have a pair of Clark's flip flops that I stick in just a backpack so I can switch out my shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a friend one time after we rode the Pluto ride, and she with her shoes, she just knew she was getting a blister, and it was on the bottom of her heel. Like, it was terrible. It was really bad.
Yeah. So if you're going to ride water rides, be prepared, especially at Universal, because those rides do. I think Pluto's was actually closed for renovation while we were there, but the Bilderat one and even Jurassic Park, it's relentless. It's
Jurassic Park isn't wet. So bad, but yeah, you could expect to get splashed and get wet. But
to me, Jurassic Park is like, Jurassic Park.
I didn't get wet at all this last time on.
Oh, really?
Jurassic Park.
If you sit in the front, basically the water goes around you and behind you.
We were in the back.
Where were
you? I think I was just on the right side to not get wet.
Yourself so that I would get wet.
Really? I don't even want to hear about this. Is the person who put me specifically in the spot to get wettest on Splash Mountain and laughed about it the whole time.
So I really want to talk about Harry Potter because I think that is the biggest thing that draws people to Universal. And then we can talk about the other stuff, but I want to make sure we talk about Harry Potter. And so I think all of us, George, did you ride the new ride?
I did not.
Oh, okay. So, and Donna wasn't with us, unfortunately.
I think just me, you rode it.
So I've missed Hagrid's, but I've ridden all the other ones.
So Hagrid's.
I'm Hagrid size, so I could not ride Hagrid's ride.
Zero sense. Yeah. Zero sense. But and I do think Universal definitely is not necessarily friendly to people of size. There were several things that I couldn't ride this time that I've been able to ride.
I think it's gotten even worse.
Well, actually. It has gotten worse because I have not changed the size that I was last trip.
Yep.
I mean, I'm still in the same clothes, unless something has shifted somewhere. They are no longer allowed to help assist people in pushing down the bar. Mm-hmm. So if you have any type of, I have poor strength in my hands and upper arms. So for me, even if I was a correct size, the strength to pull that down, I don't think that I have that. I mean, and I just couldn't do it to ride Gringotts, which I've ridden a dozen times and had no problem with. So now this trip was really sad because I didn't fit in anything. But just a heads up, try the test seats.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary. Try both test seats on Hagrid's. And then I'm in a couple big person theme park support groups on Facebook. And somebody posted in there about they didn't fit in the test seat, but they fit on the ride. Now, I don't know that I'd want it because that's a ride that you
to stand in.
Yeah. And then you have to, you have to board it while it's moving, right?
You have a lot of time.
Well, the Forbidden Journey actually has a place where you can go and you can actually get on the ride with assistance, and you're not on the moving track.
Yeah,
I had to do that with the wheelchair. Remember,
we had to. Yes, I do.
Yes, I've had to do it too. So.
So Hagrid's is an unusual ride in that the cars are different. So it's a motorcycle and a sidecar. And so you have the option to ride one or the other. And if you're with Sandy, then you'll do whatever she tells you to do. So that's what I did.
So I rode the motorcycle
and I rode the sidecar. But I was actually okay with that because I was a little bit nervous to sit up so high on a roller coaster.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Like you were driving a motorcycle.
Yeah. But the motors, and I don't want to give anything away, but the ride is really extraordinary. And I had heard that. We rode it at night.
It's different than anything I've ever done.
Yeah, we rode it at night, and I feel like that was probably the best way to ride it. I didn't get to ride it during the day because the lines were too long, but I would ride that again in a heartbeat. And I think that the nighttime, the things are lit up, but you can tell that you wouldn't be able to see them the same way in the day. So it's definitely worth riding twice if you can stand in line for it. It is not on the Express Pass, so even if you have an Express Pass, you will be waiting in line.
But it is on the VIP tour, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is on the VIP tour.
So there's one more reason to do that amazing VIP tour at Universal.
Yeah.
Now, not to give anything away as far as the ride itself, but is it a motion ride or is it a live action ride? Is it roller coaster? What type of ride is it?
It's a roller coaster. I think they're calling it a story coaster because, you're riding through the Forbidden Forest. So there is a storyline. I don't know that I got the plot of it riding the first time because I was too busy screaming, but definitely you see a lot of the usual suspects that, it's very well put together. It's very long. It's a long ride.
The queue is long. Yes. I mean, we were at a private party, so we got to pretty much walk on it, but,
it was a long walk.
That was a long walk through that queue. They have it set up for a lot of, in the middle part, there's almost like a movie that you can, you think that that's a pre-show. That's just halfway, you still got to walk a long way. So yeah,
it's a lot like Hagrid's, like Hogwarts, where you it's worth walking through the queue once to see all the things, but I don't know. And I would probably walk through it again when it's not a private party to get, because we really didn't get to look at much. We stopped every once in a while because it was cool, but we didn't spend a whole lot of time because we also only had an hour.
When Lindsay and I were there the day before, we went over there around 6 o'clock and the park didn't close till what, like 8, Lindsay?
Till like 8, but they'd already shut the line down because they knew the people wouldn't be able to get through. So you got to think of like how many hours worth of inside queuing space they have.
Yeah.
I fully believe it's 2 hours worth. I mean, honestly, we started walking it at 8 and we got off the ride at 8:30. And we walked the line, got on the ride. There was, I think we might have stopped for a minute or two, but really not much. So, you do need to plan accordingly. And to add to that, Hagrid is a very mechanically intense ride. So they have to do a lot of maintenance on it to keep it running well. So it sometimes closes, they try to have it open during operating hours, but they will close it down if they have to.
So what they said was everybody goes there first thing in the morning. So it gets very backed up. It's actually more like lunchtime that the line is a little bit shorter.
Mm-hmm. So. If it's still open.
Try it. See, worth doing. Do more than one day at Universal so that you can do it.
I think that's the trend with all the, because all the tips and all the websites and all the podcasts and all the people, the experts are all get there first thing in the morning. And I think I've noticed that there's been a lull with other theme park attractions too, that are normally stupid busy in the afternoon, like in that early afternoon, because that's always traditionally been the time you tell people to avoid the park. Noon, leave the park when it's hot. Get out and go do something and then come back. But so many people are listening to that advice now. I think it's funny that it's shifting crowd.
And I'm sure my age has something to do with this, but the fact is, even if I want to ride Hagrid's at noon, it's so hot that I have a hard time staying in the park. Even if I want to, I have a hard time staying in the park. So it does, it cuts out a lot of people who, like me, are physically out of shape and have trouble dealing with the heat. We just can't stand to be in there. So that does sort of cut back if you're hardy and can wait until noon.
It's going to cut into your pool time in the afternoon. I think this is the first year I've really become that person where I need my 3-hour siesta in the afternoon.
Serious nap. So George, did you ride Forbidden Journey?
No, I am not a big roller coaster person to start with. And I like screen rides even less.
Oh, so, yeah. So what did you ride in Universal and Islands of Adventure? So, what did you do?
I can't remember which park is which, but we started
the water rides.
We did Despicable Me, Minion Mayhem.
That's Universal. We did
Transformers. Okay,
that's Universal.
We did Men in Black.
Also Universal.
That one's so cool.
Yeah, that might have been where we spent that day. Let's see. We did Racer New York with Jimmy Fallon. Mm-hmm. We did E.T.
Oh, what did you think of E.T.? Because I got to tell you, I love E.T.
I thought the story was a little hokey, but I thought the ride was kind of cool. As somebody grew up with E.T., it was nice to finally get on the ride after all that time.
So that's the only original ride left from when they opened.
And it always seems to be on the chopping block. You always hear rumors.
I hope it doesn't.
And I hope it doesn't.
It's like when they were thinking about, or I guess they were going to make an E.T. part 2 that they never made, but it's kind of based on that.
Yeah. The story.
Everyone's like, what is this? First of all, honestly, I don't know what this is. But like, we're like, what the heck? What planet are we on? Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, the only problem Revenge I ran into, I didn't even see that, and Skull Island happened to be down at the time we went over by it. So, yeah, and then we walked around the corner and Spider-Man was down too.
Oh, no.
I didn't get to do either one of those. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Well, now you got to go back because Spider-Man's like one of the best.
Two of the best rides.
Yeah. I actually think until Harry Potter came along, Spider-Man was the best ride in Central Florida. Fight me. You can fight me over it, but I really do think it was
that's because you like counting all the
Sandy and I now know what the worst ride in Central Florida is.
Did you ride Fast and Furious?
That's
the lame. The lame and the ridiculous 2.5 years to build that. Am I remembering that wrong?
You know, the only thing that I loved about that ride, and we did, we got off that ride and all four of us were like, that is 30 minutes of our lives. We will never get
back. You're never getting it back. And that's exactly what we did. We were like,
it's going to be back. Yeah. But what I loved was something that Disney used to do and stopped doing, having live actors in the queue. To do like love that. I love, even though it was really bad.
We did
the script was bad.
We were doing the Express Pass. There were no live actors.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we didn't see any live actors in the queue. But when we were going through, it was so empty and it looked so creepy. I was like, now this is a little scary. Is this the Halloween Horror Nights where they like to have the people, if they had people in there like jumping up on the fence or something, that would have scared the crap out of me.
We had Express Pass as well. We may not have used it because it reopened while we were standing there. It had been down for a while, so we were able to just go on. Okay. But I wonder if the actors aren't there all the time. There were two holding rooms that we went in, and there were live actors in each one. There was a break room.
There were.
Oh, okay.
We did the break room. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we were in the break room. There was one person in the break room. Yeah. And now, and there was like the mechanic in the car area.
On her first day.
It was very forgettable.
Yeah.
There were live actors. This is important.
Yeah. It was so lame.
I agree. It was bad.
But there are some pretty cool details.
And then,
like cars.
So if you see the car keys, you can see the Ford Anglia from Mr. Weasley.
Really?
You can see, you'll see car keys up there, and they basically, those are Mr. Weasley's keys, and you can see little Easter eggs actually throughout the garage.
But I don't know how
I'd probably go back in there to look for it and then be like, can I please leave? Because I don't think I could sit through that stupid ride again.
No, it was pretty awful. And we had a long delay in getting started. So we're sitting on the party bus, just sitting there.
Oh my God.
So yeah, that was, so did you ride that one, George? Did you do Fast and the Furious?
No, know, by then I was starting to get motion sick with all the screen rides. And
you're smart. That's usually how I get around when I get to Springfield. And
oh, I can't do the Simpsons. The Simpsons makes me ill.
So, I love the queue because I love like watching all the old cartoons. I love Moe's Tavern. Springfield is great.
Oh, I love Springfield. Yeah. The donuts the size of your head. It's all that's all great. But yeah, I cannot ride that ride. The kids can ride it. They didn't this time, actually. They talked about it. But you know, that whole, it's combining the motion simulator with the roller coaster, and it just kills me every single time. I just can't. I've tried it. I've ridden it maybe four times, and I'm never again. I keep thinking it'll be better.
Four times is
a good scientific test.
So after you go through Springfield, there was a section that almost seemed to be kind of pirate IP based, but I, for the life of me, could not figure out what property that was supposed to be.
Think of what you're talking
about. As you came through, if you veered off to the left and went back, it went toward ET, and if you went toward the right,
so there's like a hidden section, like Woody back Woodpecker there. Yeah, the Woody Woodpecker.
There's Woody Woodpecker, and there's like Fievel's, like the Fievel Malkovich stuff from American Tail.
Yeah.
Or Fievel Goes West.
Whatever you saw, I don't think it was pirate. There is the area that used to be Jaws, you know, the San Francisco Pier area. But yeah, nothing piratey there.
But what you could have seen is maybe some of the stuff they have up for Halloween Horror Nights, because there's a Viking section in Halloween Horror Nights that's like one of those scare area that you walk through, and I can't remember exactly where that is, but it sounds like that's the location.
That might be it.
Yeah, like all those video games that were at the front of that park, that's all Halloween Horror Nights.
That's all Halloween Horror Nights. A lot of that stuff they can't, I mean, it'd be too crazy to try and think about taking that stuff down and putting it up every night, so it's just there for the whole.
Yeah, and that's also the section where they have like business meetings and things like that, and cocktail parties and all. So they've got meeting spaces back in that direction.
That's where we met for our Mardi Gras. It was back by Barney. The Barney stuff.
So, in that side of the park then, George, was Diagon Alley, which I assume you went into.
We did, yes.
The audience can't see you nodding.
Yeah, sorry, I had my mute button on. Then I couldn't find it. Yeah. Yeah. So Diagon Alley was really cool.
Did you do the wands, George? Did you do the interactive wands? Did you buy wands?
No. So my daughter got the wand at Ollivander's the night of the party over at Wizarding World. So she was going to bring it and then decided she didn't want to carry it around all day. So it stayed in the room.
So funny story about the wands. We bought one of those wands when Diagon Alley first came into being, and it was only like $50 then, which we felt was a fortune.
They're like $80.
Yeah, they're really expensive. So Marcus actually has still had it, but he had broken the little sensor tip of it, and they told us when we bought it that it has a lifetime warranty. And so I was like, well, bring it with you. We did, and we took it into Ollivander's, and they looked at it and they said, yeah, we can fix that. They went away. And 15 minutes later, they came back with a fixed wand, which I'm fairly certain was a new one. They get the same, you know, the same type. If he has a Harry Potter wand, Harry Potter.
Connor had the same issue. Well, he broke his in half, and you could see the little wire running through it. And we took it in there. They gave him a brand new, fresh new one.
Yep. And that was years ago. I mean, you know, that was when Diagon Alley first opened. So I was really glad he found it. And
is there any other place to get those wands?
You mean in the world?
Yeah. I mean, like, know you had to buy it.
Because, I mean, we've been to the Wizarding World, not the Wizarding World. We've been to the Warner Brothers Studios in London. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything interactive there. You can buy wands there. And actually, I got a wand stand there, which
I don't even think you can get the interactive wands at the airport store. Yeah. I think they have to be in the park.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So you guys did like Diagon Alley? You saw the dragon breathe and everything like that, George?
Yeah, that was really cool. We stood around for a few extra minutes waiting for that to happen.
Did anybody else
ice cream?
Oh, good question.
The ice cream there is so good. It's like chili chocolate flavored. Like, they have all these unusual flavors of ice cream. It's one of my favorite things.
Rumor has it that butterbeer ice cream is the best ice cream. It's the best version of butterbeer, but I haven't tried it yet.
It's good, but I don't know if it's the best version of butterbeer, because I like the frozen butterbeer.
Well, isn't it sort of frozen butterbeer?
Ice cream is more like just butterscotch ice cream.
Oh, okay.
To me, anyway. I mean, I'm not the Harry Potter aficionado that you guys are. So I don't know, but yeah, for me, it just tasted like really good butterscotch ice cream. My favorite there was I forget what it's called now, but it had chili in it and chocolate, and it was so good. It was like unexpectedly delicious.
I think I saw that. I was trying to get Finley to try something different. That's actually the first time. This trip was the first time I went to that ice cream shop. So I usually
believe. Oh, I got to go every time now because I'm addicted to that ice cream.
It was so hot. I was like,
oh yes, it's really good. And Connor was even saying, he's like, you know, there's my two favorite things to eat at Universal. He's got to have the chicken sandwich from the Leaky Cauldron, and then we've got to go to Mythos and have mashed potatoes.
Wow,
that is very specific.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
So back over to the new Hagrid's ride is actually in Hogsmeade, which is the older section. It's been around for longer, so it sort of adds a new, and it replaced the Dueling Dragons roller coaster. So it's in that same spot. It's a little bit tucked away, actually. I actually mentioned to Chris had taken the kids the day before because we were still in our conference, and I said, "Did you ride Hagrid's?" He was like, "I didn't see it." So if you aren't aware that it's there, you can walk right by it because it's kind of tucked back
there. Yeah. Because they kept the same they pretty much kept the same entrance as it was. I mean, they took the two dragons down when they turned it into, what was it before? In between Dueling Dragons and Hagrid's, it was something else for a while.
There was just a little back area that you could kind of go, and it was quiet if you had a
there's still kid. That other Hagrid's roller coaster.
That's the Griff.
Yeah.
The Hippogriff.
Yeah, that's all the way in the back, though. That's actually, I mean, they literally just took out the old roller coaster and put in the new one, and apparently a mile-long queue. The queue wasn't that long, although it was pretty long. For our audience members who are hearing that weird noise, that is Lindsay's dog snoring.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry, guys. I didn't realize you could hear her.
It wasn't too bad at first. I was like, is my stomach growling?
Yeah, I was like, who's snoring?
And now you can do, and this has been true for a while, you can use your interactive wands that you can cast spells over in Diagon Alley. You can bring those over to Hogsmeade with you, and there's places where you can cast spells there as well. And a little hidden gem, if you know the stories, if you go into the bathroom, the women's bathrooms at Hogsmeade, you can hear Moaning Myrtle in there. So it's a little scary if you aren't expecting it. It's a nice touch. It's a nice detail. Yeah. So you can hear her crying throughout that. So George, you said you didn't get to ride Kong or Spider-Man?
No, neither one. They were both down.
That's too bad. Although they are both screen rides, so you might have been.
Yeah. Kong especially
nauseous.
Might have been a little.
Yeah. Kong was sort of half down when we rode through it, and it was very disappointing because the screens basically went to black, and you could still hear stuff going on.
And
so if you really weren't aware of how the ride was working, you then knew. Like, you could then tell. So it sort of destroyed all the magic. Because I actually rode it once and didn't know how they did a lot of it. Because I just didn't feel like it was screens. Then this time I rode it, and I knew it was screens because I knew that before I rode it. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, oh, well, this is.
But Kong's actually real. And that's, they actually said that's the largest
audio
Kong head.
Is amazing.
Well, that's an impressive piece of animatronic work there. That's
ever since Spider-Man, that sort of is their thing now, is to mix real media with the video screen so that you're moving from reality into these screens so that it seems more real. So you get that in Forbidden Journey, you get that in Gringotts. You always have some reality in there, some real props to make you know not, and I think that too, like, you then are like, well, there was a screen there just a minute ago and now it's a real thing, so that can't really be a screen, that must have been something else, or the screens are further away from me than you think they are, or whatever. Like, generally people don't know how screens work, and so I think that Kong is really, it's kind of, the illusion is as strong as 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea used to be for me. You know, I used to insist that I had gone down in a submarine with the, you know, I saw the bubbles, and, you know, we had to have gone, and, you know, my parents tried to convince me that, you know, it was just floating around a trap. And, no, we went down. So that's, wow. To me, it's that same sort of, it's that same, I was really little. I also thought that Sister Toad's Wild Ride was weird. I was into the mat. You know what? I'm a dreamer. So, and Spider-Man to me also, I, when I got off Spider-Man for the first time, I was like, I really feel like I had just been in a comic book. And I wasn't even a huge Spider-Man fan, but I really,
well, then, I and really felt Transformers that. Is good like that, mm-hmm. except the Transformers storyline is kind of confusing.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. It's still a really good ride, though. Yeah.
It is a great ride. But the whole time, the whole point is to keep this thing away from them. And then in the end, it's like, here, take it. And then, you know, I'm like.
And then there's also a great, that's a great cue, too, to kind of wander through.
It was,
The story is really strong. I think, honestly, part of the reason Fast and the Furious is so terrible is the technology is fine, but the whole premise is ridiculous.
Okay, but the technology,
there isn't a moment in that ride where you're like, oh yeah, I totally believe this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very similar. The way the ride works is very similar to Kong.
Right.
And I had no idea on Kong until I rode Fast and Furious. And then Fast and Furious made me realize what Kong was doing. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of hate it for that.
Yeah, you know, I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not done as well at all.
No, I mean, it's like, not. It's
it, on the end, you can see, you're like.
Yeah, you're, and the faces are warped in some like odd shapes for.
Well, it's this thing is just ridiculous. I mean, again, we're talking the person who totally believed 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was a submarine. And I was like, this is stupid. Like, this is stupid, and then this is stupid. I do not believe any of this. And I am the most willing to believe. Yeah. And I just,
sorry, Universal. We didn't think this was going to be like 20 minutes of hating on your lamest ride. But
this one is cute. Yes, you know, and if you watch the Tonight Show and you going in there and seeing the memorabilia and stuff, that's.
Yeah. I love the Jimmy film. You know, I'm just trying to think of what they could do. Oh, how about you just take Fast and Furious out and put Jaws back?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Well, see, I like Jimmy Fallon because it's the coolest place in the park. When it's really hot outside, you go inside and Jimmy Fallon is nice and cold. And you sit there for 20 minutes and really
wait for
cool
your color
off.
To be called. And
exactly.
We didn't have a queue at all. And I will say, if you've ever been to the NBC buildings, that, I mean, once I was inside, I could have easily been in New York City. I would have totally. Yeah. It's really well done. And, you know, that studio.
But it's funny because they were building that around the same time as Fast and Furious. Mm-hmm. It's just. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand. Maybe part of it's the story. Maybe part of it's because we're not like. Have you seen all the movies? Because I haven't.
I haven't seen any of them. Part of the... No, I feel like I really don't need to.
Well, and that was, I got off the ride. I said to the family, I'm like, that was ridiculous. None of those things, like, he was like riding a tank at full speed. And my husband was like, well, but that's kind of what the movies are. It's like, well, this is why I haven't watched them.
Yeah. We are obviously not the target audience.
We are not their target audience. We are not the,
Nope. Give me some Minions. I love it.
Let's talk a minute about the hotels, just to kind of touch base on those.
Yeah. We need to talk about City Walk, too, because I actually did do some, but we can talk about the
hotels first. So, different levels of hotels. They're opening up these new value hotels that are actually really good value, and they have suites in them they're really good for a family. I feel like they sleep six.
I think that's right. But it's not like private bedrooms, you know, you're like sleep.
No, but you can have kitchen, you know, and stuff. So and they're an amazing price. Mm-hmm. So
I think Universal is so smart to go after that market that is kind of getting a little left behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the larger family and tougher price point, because I would kill for rooms in some other places that hold six.
And let's not pretend that Universal isn't expensive, because I just I have a client who was doing a last minute trip. They're going down for a wedding to Florida, and they're like, we're gonna go down one night early, we're gonna stay at Universal, go to the park for one day, and then drive to the wedding.
But that's the most expensive way to do a theme park, is to go for one day because of the ticket.
If price your tickets similar to Disney, they are not cheap tickets.
They're not cheap tickets. And then, and even the offsite hotels, the one, you know, I priced the Holiday Inn that's right across the street, and it actually was pricing, like Hard Rock was, I think, $40 more.
Endless Summer is a great ride.
And then you get the universal pass. But
the thing is, I booked a couple people this year on this special. They give days away. You'll have the special where you buy a 2-day ticket. You get 5 days for 2 days, which is, whatever the special is. And that really, I think, makes the difference. And they seem to run those specials quite frequently.
But not all the time.
Not all the time, but it's
middle summer, but yeah.
Yeah, it's enough that I've caught a couple each year for people. And it just seems like pricing it in comparison, it does always come out to be a better price performer for me anyway when I'm quoting it.
So did you tour the Endless Summer Resort?
Yes, mm-hmm. I toured the Surfside Inn.
Right, because so the other one.
Dockside's still being filmed. Mm-hmm. I want to say December, but I can't remember. It had a very similar feel to Cabana Bay, but Cabana Bay is considered prime value, and the Endless Summer Resorts are considered value.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and then they're priced that way. They're like, they start at $80 in their value season, which is a price to be on site.
Yeah.
And they have bigger, I mean, that would be for like a room with just two beds. But if you go up to the suites, they're still not that much. They're like $120 or something. Yeah. And then like the prime value would be Cabana Bay and Aventura, which is, Aventura is one of the newer hotels, and it's kind of focused more on millennials. It's got like, I don't know, it's just got this kind of cool vibe. They have iPads in the rooms that control everything, mm-hmm. So like my parents would probably not get mm-hmm. in. But one of the cool things Aventura has is the rooftop bar. Mm-hmm. And they took us up there and showed us, and they were like, this is a big secret. This is the best view of Orlando. And when you're up there around fireworks time, you can see like Disney's fireworks. You can see Universal's, New Year's Eve is a really cool time to be up there. So it was pretty cool. And then great price point for those too. None of those that I just mentioned get you the unlimited express pass.
Right.
Yeah.
And then really summer resorts are actually across the highway. So you can't walk over. You need to take a bus.
Yeah.
Well, you can, but you might be playing Frogger.
So actually, I do think they have like, I feel like they're all connected,
that was not what they told us in training. Okay, they said there's no intention of building a walkway.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I know like Aventura and Cabana Bay, there are walkways, but it's a much longer walk.
The one thing that did change that they did add was, remember when we stayed at Sapphire Falls and had to walk to Portofino to get the boat? Uh-huh. Well, there's a boat launch now at Sapphire Falls.
Oh, cool.
There's the, so that's one thing that I did notice this time that was different. But they still don't have the express passes still at those only at the top three. And I think if you have a family and you want to ride those rides, and especially for someone like you, Sandy, if you've got five people, I mean, you save so much money on the express pass.
They have rooms by staying at like five. You don't have to necessarily get a suite.
Well, and for this couple that's doing the one, it totally made sense for them to stay the mm-hmm. one night because again, the price difference between that and the Holiday Inn was only $40, and they're getting the unlimited express pass, and they're only going to be there one day, so they really want that express pass.
Right.
So even mm-hmm. for two people, it becomes cost effective to do it.
So the hotels that will get you the unlimited express are Royal Pacific, Hard Rock, and Portofino. Mm-hmm.
And Hard Rock is the closest to the park. If you want to walk to and from the park, the Hard Rock is physically the closest. They're all walkable, but it's a longer walk.
Yeah, I remember when we were there, we were staying at Portofino club level with my family, and we made it from the back of the park, like Hogsmeade, to the club lounge in like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's how. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that really sets apart those resorts is that you can get on the river barge basically, and you get to go through your own little security line. So you don't have to wait in those big, huge, long lines coming from the parking decks. So you get through security a lot faster that way.
Yeah,
true.
Pro tip, if you do valet parking, which is a little bit more expensive, you also get your own private security line. That can save you a lot of time, so it could sort of justify the cost of that.
So tell us about City Walk. You said you went to Toothsome?
Went to Toothsome, the Toothsome Chocolate Factory, which has been there for years now, and I've never gone because I've not had time, or the line's been too long, or I was full because I've been snacking all day and I didn't want to go over there when I couldn't eat anything. So we actually did, as a family on Sunday, we left the parks early in the afternoon because it was so hot. And I was worried I wouldn't be able to get them back out again, but we all traipsed back out to go to Tucson, and we went fairly early. I bought some chocolate. I actually still have it. Sandy, would you like some?
How do you have chocolate still?
Because I traveled.
Yeah, 2 weeks after that.
We bought some chocolate and we ate, and it's a steampunk kind of themed restaurant. And there's a character walking around and greeting.
There's two people. Characters.
Oh, I only met one.
There's a guy and a girl.
There's a guy and a girl, yeah.
And I love Tucson.
We went to go drink, Lindsay. We didn't eat there.
I've eaten there several times, but
yeah.
We were drinking. We were drinking the cocktails, but.
Well, I had their chocolate old fashions. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then we ate dinner there. It was very tasty. Because that was the thing, is it's called the Tucson Chocolate Factory. So you think everything's going to be chocolate, but that isn't, I mean, you know, they have good savory entrees. And so it was really fun. And we did have to wait a little while before we got seated, but you can shop for chocolate while you do that.
Their tachos are really, really good. And their sundaes are insane.
We were full by the time we finished.
Sunday with a piece of cake on it.
We had that.
Did you? What was it?
Yeah. We had each had a different sundae and they were really yummy.
They're so good. But you really can't. I think you need to phone a friend. Like, I wasted so much of that sundae because I couldn't eat it.
Mm-hmm. The chocolate's really good, isn't it, Sandy?
I'm really good. We're doing a live
tasting. It's nice to know that you guys got chocolate. That's
I'm doing it for the team.
You can describe it to you in detail. And then I'm going to put this away before she eats it.
This is the chocolate pretzel. It's really good. Oh,
good. So I was sort of underwhelmed, I guess, with the food selections overall at CityWalk.
It really? Did you go in a cowfish?
I didn't.
I think there's good food at CityWalk, but you have to hunt for it because it's not, I think there's so many restaurants there packed in a smaller area. You kind of have to go back and go in and, to get to a couple of them, and maybe just walking through, if you just walk through, you're going to see the big name ones right there, like the Margaritaville and Hard Rock. And, I think some of those have what's the one place that has the Thai food? You don't talk about
that. It's like the red
coconut or the red.
Oh, I thought that was a bar. I didn't realize that was a restaurant.
They have food too.
Well, really good food. Honestly, Disney Springs is much the same way. You wander around there and it's like, oh, a restaurant. Oh, look, here's a burger place. Oh, here's a. Yeah. And so the thing about CityWalk is it's much more popular brands. Mm-hmm. So you can Moe's and Burger King. I think Burger King's still there. Yeah. And Bubba Gump and Margaritaville and Panda Express, and so
Voodoo Donuts, which is a total meal, I'm going to argue.
And Voodoo Donuts, it does not fall into the same category of what I was just talking about, because even though it's well known, it's not everywhere. Like Moe's is everywhere, but Bubba Gump, and so
do like fire something, like fire pit or fire.
Oh, that's a brand new restaurant. The fire.
Well, clearly fire.
Somebody needs to Google this fire. But I always tend to go. It's funny. I always tend to go to Cowfish because there's Cowfish in Raleigh that I never go to. But when I'm at Universal, I'm like, we got to go to Cowfish.
I went there for dessert once and it was really right good. There.
Apparently they make all fresh pasta. I haven't had a chance to eat there yet, but.
No, because I'm always at Cowfish.
But it's right next door. So I think there are places, and the Mexican place is very authentic.
That's really good.
It's really good. So. I think if you stay away, and I think Emeralds is still there too.
Yeah.
For good things about. So I think if you stay away, I think if you stay away from the big name one, you know, don't go to Moe's, go find.
Yeah. Them. Stay away but from actually, the chains.
I've heard that sports bar is pretty good too. The NBC sports bar.
Yeah.
It was, we ate there the first night. I think I was dying for a hard cider and it was the only place we could find in all of CityWalk that had ciders. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And then, we did eat at Mamadella's that one night that we ran into you, Elizabeth, and the food there was fantastic.
That's at Portofino. Yeah, that was very
good. Yeah. Yep.
It's called Big Fire is the name.
And then you've got some of the restaurants that are actually throughout the resorts. that are really good if you're not actually in City Walk.
Yeah, Mamadella's, which George just talked about. You had your anniversary dinner there, right?
We did, yeah.
Really special.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Yeah, so I happened to be eating there the same time. I didn't realize. So I was like, hey, I'm going to barge it on your table. But then one of my favorite restaurants there is at Universal is the Kitchen at Hard Rock. It's really good. The portions are ridiculously huge, but it's very good. I haven't eaten there in a while because the portions are so big. So hopefully I haven't gone downhill and I'm not misleading you, but I really like
just that share restaurant. An entree, yeah. Check it out.
Now I will say that Lowe's Royal Pacific, I do not love the restaurants there. Jake's is okay, but it's always super slow down there. I have never been impressed with those restaurants.
I was impressed. I'm impressed with the nachos at the pool bar. Like you could feed a family of 10.
Those were huge.
No doubt. And they weren't super expensive for the amount of nachos you got either. It was like a normal price for a nacho appetizer, but it was like three times the size.
Yeah, we split it between four.
Yeah. And you probably still didn't finish it, did you?
We did. Oh, okay. Once it was four of us, we did.
I split it with two other people and we didn't eat half of it. So
oh, wow.
Clearly we were daintier than you.
Now, I like the Amatista Cookhouse at Sapphire Falls.
Oh, I haven't.
I do think the breakfast is a little pricey, but it is good. And some of the other foods, I think I ate. When we were there, I did eat like three different meals there. I stayed there.
On our last night, we actually checked out of Royal Pacific and went and stayed at Sapphire Falls for a night. And honestly, if I had my choice, I probably would have stayed there the whole week.
Yeah.
I really liked that resort, the way the rooms were, the pool looked amazing. With the natural beach sand they brought in and nice resort.
I love Sapphire Falls. The only reason that I wouldn't stay there every time is because I do like having the unlimited
Express
pass. Yeah, that was a good
point. But let's say if you're going and you know you're going to splurge on the VIP tour and you don't need the Express pass because your VIP lanyard turns into an Express pass when you're done with your tour that's good in both parks.
Or if you're going way off season and you don't
think that's...
December. That's when I stayed at Cabana Bay because the crowd level was a 2 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And we didn't need it. You know, it was great.
Yep. Yeah. I've even been there in May, like in early May.
Yeah.
May's and it's, time. Yeah. I actually, it was that time. Story. Remember, you guys, we went after we had went to Disney thing and then we did everything in one day without Express passes. We did everything, like every single ride, both parks. So I was playing Torga. It was hardcore. So, but there were things that weren't there at the time. Like Hagrid's wasn't there. Diagon Alley was there, I think. Oh no, it might not have been open yet. Nope. I don't think it was open yet. So there was less stuff. No Jimmy Fallon, no Fast and the Furious. I think Terminator was still open. So
I think that was still open last time.
That was probably also the Twister ride.
The Twister ride was still there too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because that's what they turned Jimmy Fallon from.
Was that really a ride? It felt like more like a walk.
That was the Twister experience.
Experience, yeah. That's my thought.
See, anything that goes round and round, I don't get on. It so it's a Twister, and I just walked right past.
It does go around. It's a walkthrough, yeah. Well, it does.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. But, you know, Twister just told me that it would go round and round.
Did you ever go on the Backlot Express at Disney?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Twister reminded me of. Style.
Okay.
Special effects show, right? Yeah, it was blew wind at you and, you know, made it.
Oh, feel, I did know. That in California.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I mean, there's also, like, I know in San Francisco, I did an earthquake ride experience that was kind of like that, where they put you in a room and then they shake the room so that you get the idea of what an earthquake
is. They have that at the Science Center in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
There you have it.
There we go. So, all right. So,
a key thing that we didn't mention is that. To enjoy Harry Potter thoroughly, if you're a Harry Potter fan, you'll want to ride the Hogwarts Express between Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley. You want to ride it both ways. And the only way to do that is
to have a park-to-park
with
ticket.
A hopper.
You guys are smart. Yeah. That's and I have so many people say, well, we don't want to go to both parks in one day. I'm like, doesn't matter. You do.
You're
going
to
pay
for it. And yeah, when you get to the train station, they're there with a cash register to upgrade.
That is the number one thing every time I talk to somebody about Universal.
Yeah.
No one.
And they were smart.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a great ride.
Yeah, it is. And the train ride is not very long, but it is different both ways and it is so quintessential to the Harry Potter universe that you can't not do it. Mm-hmm. You have to do it. So yeah, I love it. It's a nice, and it's nice and cool and relaxing, and it's wheelchair friendly, as we found out when we were there with Lindsay. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's a good, it's a good relaxing ride, and it's so much a part. I mean, even the cast members of the movie, the cast of the movie, when they came to experience it, they were like, you know, on set, we had this like box that only looked like a train on the inside, but this is like the real thing. You know, you can walk onto it. And you're like, this is so cool.
All right, guys. Well, that's our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from our podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Lindsay, Elizabeth, George, Donna, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.